This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's program, we'll hear from Congressman Frank Wolf about worldwide religious persecution and what we can do to help. Also, Pastor Robert Decker will tell us about the discrimination he's facing in Maryland. But first, we'll talk with Oklahoma Representative Jim Bridenstine about a press conference we held earlier this week. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he gets us started.
A broad coalition of groups led by the Family Research Council joined with some key members of Congress, John Fleming of Louisiana, Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas, and my next guest, Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma. He is a Navy pilot, veteran. He continues to serve in the reserves of our nation's military. But this whole focus of this press conference and a release of a new document that provides really a catalog of attacks on religious freedom in our nation's military. And Congressman Bridenstine was there to talk about this issue. We were successful in getting language attached to the National Defense Authorization Act. Still has to make its way through Congress, but we've made progress. The reason for the press conference, draw more attention to this and to get the public support behind defending the rights of those who defend our rights and freedoms. And joining me now is Congressman Bridenstine. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony. It's always good to be with you.
Well, I have to say, I thought your comments today were right on target. I guess you know how to hit a target from 30,000 feet, so you can hit one right there when the microphone's in front of you. But you did a great job in talking about General Washington.
Sure.
237 years ago, calling for chaplains and the importance of religious freedom, and you brought that home to where our military stands today.
Absolutely. It was 237 years ago today, in fact, when General George Washington established the chaplaincy with a general order. And with that general order, I'm just going to read, if it's okay, some of what his words were. He said that the blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, but especially so in times of public distress and danger. Then he said, the general, he was talking about himself, General George Washington, he said, the general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor so to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. And I think that when you think about the history and tradition of our country, and there's a lot of revisionists out there that would like to make everybody believe that our founders were maybe atheists or deists. But the reality is that's absolutely not true. Our founders had a deep and abiding faith, and that faith was a Christian faith. And I think what's important about our press conference today, unlike George Washington, who by today's measure would you would imagine what he would be called by today's measure, but unlike George Washington, nobody today at our press conference was suggesting that everyone be a Christian in the military, or that we force everybody to live and act like Christians in the military. But what we were suggesting is that our president, President Obama, allow Christian soldiers to have the right to live and act like Christians, and or whatever faith they may choose, but to have the freedom and the right to express their faith is very important. And it's a departure from historical precedent and policy to suggest otherwise. And going back to George Washington for a second, when I shared two statements, one from George Washington and one from President Barack Obama. George Washington in 1778, he said this. He said, quote, purity of morals were highly conducive to order, subordination, and success in an army. And I'm going to repeat that because it's important. Purity of morals were highly conducive to order, subordination, and success in an army. And to the contrary, what President Obama said, he issued a signing statement regarding our Religious Liberty Amendment in the National Defense Authorization Act. And President Obama's signing statement said, quote, significant adverse effects on good order and discipline and morale and mission accomplishment would be the result of, in essence, our religious liberty provision. So on one hand, you have General George Washington saying that, you know, morals were highly conducive to order, subordination, and success in an army, and you have President Obama indicating that they were, in fact, adverse to good order and discipline and morale in the army.
I guess it depends on what you want to do with the military.
I guess that's absolutely true. I think everybody understands at this point that the military is being used as a tool by this administration for social experimentation. And I don't think anybody can look at what's happening today and think otherwise.
You know, this administration, this president talks about the freedom of worship. What we're talking about here is the freedom of religion. And what the language that was added to the Defense Authorization Act was simply to not only allow religious beliefs, but actions as well. Now, granted, they cannot be in conflict with the military mission, but let's look at some examples here that are found. If you go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow it through to link to the militaryfreedom.org, and you'll see this. For instance, Bibles being brought in to the hospital for wounded warriors were banned. That you could not bring in Bibles and even read a Bible to a wounded warrior because the Bible was seen as something that just wasn't welcome. Members not allowed to have Bibles on their workspace at their desk. So the list goes on and on. So it's not just a matter of indifference toward Christianity. Right. It's open hostility.
And I can tell you, there's a lot of us, members of Congress, a lot of us in the military, who still believe that we should be promoting policies that advance the idea that children should, as much as possible, be raised in a home with a mother and a father who are married for life. And is that now going to be an intolerable position to maintain? Am I going to be allowed to speak about that when I put on my uniform and drill on the weekends? You know, these are issues that we're going to have to address in the military that historically the military has never had to deal with before.
Congressman Bridenstine, thanks so much for being with us and once again for your leadership on some core issues that are very important to our listeners and important to us here at the Family Research Council.
Thank you so much, Tony.
It's a long list of attacks on our military's religious liberties made by this administration. To see the list and make a stand for our soldiers, go to TonyPerkins.com and look for the link to MilitaryFreedom.org. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch Weekly right after this.
Some say that Americans are puritanical about sexuality, but the truth is that we live in a sex-saturated culture. Many of us find ourselves wondering, like the psalmist, how to keep ourselves pure. Mapping America 123 shows that about 97% of those in intact marriages who worship weekly have had only one sexual partner in the previous year, compared to only 62% among those in non-intact marriages or who are single and who never worship. For more on marriage, worship, and sexual purity, visit www.mappingamericaproject.org.
Scientists in Oregon recently announced that they had created cloned human life and then destroyed that life to extract embryonic stem cells. They used the same technique that had created Dolly the cloned sheep, but modified the process, because this time they were using human eggs and human cells. Some will celebrate this news, but however sophisticated or well-intended the research, human cloning opens the door to a brave but highly dangerous new world. It also subjects young women to enormous health risks and turns them into a biotech commodity and target for exploitation. But there is another way. Scientists have researched and used ethical stem cell alternatives to help heal patients. Adult stem cells do not require the destruction of human life, but are currently healing over 60,000 patients each year. To find out more about the science and ethics of stem cell research, download our new brochure at frc.org/stem cells.
Welcome back to Washington Watch Weekly. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Pastor Robert Decker. His church has faced discrimination, and he's not going to take it sitting down. Here's Tony as he gives us a little background.
Well, when you think a public space, such as a beach or a park, that is open to the public, you rightly assume if you follow the rules, you can use it too. Well, apparently not if you're a church. Pastor Robert Decker of New Covenant Presbyterian Church and a member of FRC's Watchmen on the Wall network of pastors requested the use of Rehoboth Beach for a church service. But the beach manager's response was this, quote, "I'm so sorry to inform you that I cannot grant your request to have church services on the public beach in Rehoboth. I cannot mix church and state. I trust you understand," end quote. Well, Pastor Decker decided to respectfully exercise his constitutional rights and proclaim his beliefs despite the city's denial. At this line-in-the-sand gathering, Pastor Decker boldly refused to allow his religious freedom to be denied and publicly stood for his beliefs by leading an Independence Day service, both exercising his religious rights and honoring what is the foundation of our independence as a nation, and that is those biblical principles that brought freedom to this nation. And I welcome Pastor Decker now to the program. Pastor Decker, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's good to be with you. I've always admired, as you said, I've been connected with the Watchmen, and it's kind of a fascinating thing to actually be talking to you on live radio. I'm thrilled by it.
Well, Pastor, I when I saw this story unfold last week, I said, now that looks like one of our pastors. If he's not, he needs to be. And sure enough, as you said, you're connected to you're a watchman standing on the walls there in Delaware. Tell our audience kind of your story. Why did you draw a line in the sand, and then let us know what happened?
Well, it was an interesting series of events, and upon looking back, I can see God's fingerprint on it. But I've recently moved up here from the beaches of Pensacola to the beaches of Delaware. And there's a difference between the southern states and the northern states, and I guess I faced it right in front of me. Basically, what happened is that we have so many people flock to the beaches along the coast here from big cities of Washington and Philadelphia and Baltimore that the population is so big we usually have to go to two services. And this year we decided let's do what some of the other ministers have done down further south at Bethany and in a different area over in Long Neck. They've all had beach services that are well attended. People enjoy the outdoor services in the summer. They're on vacation. So that's mm-hmm. what I petitioned, figured out what to do because we wanted to use the bandstand right down in the middle of Rehoboth. It's a beautiful spot, great facility. And so in drafting the request, it was a win-win situation for the city. Hey, we wanted to offer a continuation of what Rehoboth was established in, I believe it was in 1871. The state legislators set apart Rehoboth as a permanent Christian campground and a seaside resort for Christians. I mean, that's what's on the sign posted right where we were going to have this Christian service. And when the city manager took my letter and immediately said, you read it on the air, the response, I went back to him and I said, I don't understand. I just cannot understand why you're saying we can't mix church and state, because we even have a sunrise service there that is allowed. So at the very same place, we can meet for sunrise service, but we can't meet for 8 weeks in the summer to be able to sing gospel music and proclaim what's in the scriptures.
Pastor, let me make sure I understand this, Pastor Decker. You've had sunrise services there, but simply because it's during what they consider prime time where the beach is used, they're saying you can't use it because it's mixing church and state?
Well, he didn't get into much more than that. He kept his words brief, and I have to commend him for that. But it seemed as though he was thinking that if I would go away, his life would be better. And I think that's why they simply said no religion. And on the website, they say no religious music at the bandstand as well. So there seems to be a clear statement that they're not welcoming religion in Rehoboth right now, unless it's inside of a church building. That was where it started. And our church took that as a setback, but we are not necessarily rebel rousers over here. We're wanting to communicate the gospel by word and by deed, and that's what happened. There was another person that had heard some of my preaching, and we had watched that movie, The Last Ounce of Courage. I recommend it. Some folks put it together. It was in some of the theaters. Didn't get big playtime, but it really talks about religious freedom. We watched it in the church on our film night, and as I finished it and we had discussion, I said, the very words in that movie are the very things that were confronted to me this week. And it just so happened that the Lord stirred up somebody that had heard me preaching. They formed a freedom rally and asked me to be the keynote speaker, and that sounded like a no-brainer. I mean, the Bible says be ready to preach in season and out of season. And as this all unfolded, as it started rolling, some national attention, I even was asked to be on one of the early morning TV shows nationally to be able to talk about this. There was a lot of energy generated. People seemed to be just looking for someone with courage, you know, that last ounce of courage to stand up and say, hey, this is true. I mean, when you look on the money, you say, in God we trust, or just like I said, to not take for granted what the people in Egypt don't have, we have, and we're like the frog in the kettle that do nothing but just swim around in the warm water and before it turns to boiling. But
and if we don't use it, we'll lose it.
Yeah, we'll lose it otherwise. And so what ended up happening was when the momentum was rolling and I realized we didn't even have approach the city manager about things, I went to the organizer of the event, I went to the city manager, and I did petition him for a request to be able to use it so that we could work in concert. And to my amazement, it was approved. So in reality, he had moved from his earlier position to enable us to have preaching and prayer on the sands at Rehoboth. And that's what we did on July 4th, and 1,500 people showed up. I had an outpouring of all kinds of folks from across the country. Some great stories. Somebody was a relative from some of the founding fathers and were there. Some people from Joplin that had been through the tornado were there. And the encouragement was, we are so thankful that somebody wants to stand up for Jesus. And even today, as I was shopping, one of the people recognized my picture from what they had seen, and they came up to me and said, thank you. And I'm like, what did I do? She said, we were praying for Rehoboth for the last year that God would do some work, and apparently God's using you to get people talking again about the importance of God in our lives.
Well, Pastor Decker, I want to thank you for being a watchman on the wall by not just a commitment, by example, and being an example to other pastors. And I do hope more and more pastors will realize that if they'll simply stand up, people will stand behind them because they're looking for leaders like you.
You can find out more about Pastor Decker's Line in the Sand event when you visit us at TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back right after this.
On October the 11th through the 13th, join fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come to Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. and stand for faith, family, and freedom. Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, congressional members are already confirmed. Invited speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Bobby Jindal, and Scott Walker. Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Representatives Eric Cantor, Michelle Bachmann, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, government spending, and national security. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This October, stand with others who are committed to taking back our country. Go to valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins talks with Representative Frank Wolf of Virginia about religious persecution around the world. Here's how Tony got that conversation started.
The Secretary of State, John Kerry, chose an interesting place to deliver his first foreign policy address. The former senator spoke at the University of Virginia, and he was introduced by the university's president, Teresa Sullivan, who noted that the university's founder, Thomas Jefferson, had served as the first Secretary of State. Well, unlike today's foreign policy elites, Mr. Jefferson thought religious freedom was fundamental to our political liberties. That somehow has been lost on the State Department of today. Joining me now is Congressman Frank Wolf from Virginia's 10th Congressional District, and he's repeatedly called upon the Obama administration to speak out on behalf of Christians and others who are being persecuted around the world. Congressman Wolf, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Now, I know in addition to a number of things you've been talking with us about on the program, Benghazi and that investigation, you also have been speaking out for years on behalf of persecuted minorities, in particular Christians, around the world. And I have to tell you, I was shocked by reports coming out of the Sinai Desert where Bedouins are trafficking in humans and torturing them, many of them Christians, some Muslims, but they're being held there for ransom in many cases, and many have died there in the desert as a result of this.
That's true. That is an accurate report. A number are Christians. Some are Muslims, as you say. They're coming at a Eritrea, these Bedouin tribes, and some tribes in the Sudan area get them. Major ransom demands. We called the Religious Freedom Commission the other day, and here's what they said. Most of the reports and demands and ill treatment are true or handed over to Bedouins for Muslims and Christians equally. This includes rape, objects such as whips or chairs, burnings with cigarette butts, suspensions from ceilings for prolonged periods of time in contorted positions, electric shocks. There are also many reports of organ harvesting, and then it goes on. But that is actually, and sometimes the ransom is $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, which is an amazing amount of money for somebody over there to raise, particularly if they're trying to leave Eritrea. As you know, the head of Eritrea, Isaias, is a very difficult, very hard man, and they want to get out of there. And then they go to Sudan, which is equally bad in some respects. They all want to kind of get to Europe or some other place. But the report is true.
Well, Congressman, this is happening with, as I understand and reading some of these reports, the full knowledge of authorities there in Egypt that this is happening. It's taking place, and nothing is being done.
Well, that's true, except the Sinai is wide open. I was in Egypt in February, and the Sinai, frankly, the Egyptian forces were not even down into the Sinai. So the Sinai is a wild, open, free area. Some activity had been done by the Egyptian government periodically, but Sinai was uncontrollable. After the fall of Mubarak, Sinai became a wild, wild place. So there really isn't any Egyptian force down there, and as you know, a vacuum is filled. So yes, they have not done much, but they frankly aren't even down there.
I guess, Congressman, this is another byproduct of our failed foreign policy?
Well, it's a byproduct of our failed foreign policy. I think America, with regard to foreign policy, is somewhat in decline. When I was in Egypt again, I thought, boy, I've never been at a place in Egypt where America was viewed so poorly. We were viewed as the number one supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. Our ambassador, Ann Patterson, has been actually a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. So, yeah, all around the world, the Coptic Christians have never felt comfortable, frankly, because of our administration has not advocated, spoken out for them, even when we were given tremendous aid. In Iraq, before the Iraq War, there were 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. They're down now to about 300,000, and more biblical activity took place in Iraq than any other country in the world other than Israel. Abraham's from Iraq. The 12 tribes of Israel were in Iraq for about 20 years. Daniel is buried in Iraq. Esther, for such a time like this, from Iraq. Ezekiel is buried in Iraq. The Christian community have been decimated, and you see the same thing taking place in other places. So, yeah, the American foreign policy has not been good on this area. I think it's very tough to be. In fact, as Christians are going to become the minority being persecuted. Have you heard the saying that here in the Middle East, first the Saudi people and then the Sunni people? In Egypt, there were about 80,000. The Jewish population was 80,000 in 1950. They're down to roughly 20. In Iraq, the Jewish population in 1950 was about 180,000. They're down now to about, I think, one person left. And so you're seeing the eradication of the Jewish community, and now you're seeing the eradication of the Christian community, and no one is speaking out. Now, let me just say something that could be very controversial. Some of the blame is with the Christians here in the United States. There's mm-hmm. been a silence on behalf of the Christians that are being persecuted around the world. I very seldom hear the church in the West speaking out.
And Congressman Wolf, what should they be calling? What should they be doing? Give some practical steps of what our listeners across the country who are predominantly are Christian, what I think there is a sense of responsibility, at least I
to whom much is given, much is required. I mean, I mean, Jesus talks about it. I mean, President Ronald Reagan said that the words in the Constitution were a covenant with the entire world, not just with the people in Philadelphia in 1787, that hot summer, but a covenant with the entire world, a covenant with a Christian community in Vietnam that are being persecuted when this administration does nothing, a covenant with the people of North Korea, and there's a remnant of the Christian church there and people who are enslaved in these gulags, and we say nothing in the West, a covenant with the Coptic Christians, a covenant with the Baha'i. There are 200 Baha'is that are in prison in Iran. There's the Baha'i Seven. There's Pastor Ahmadini, who Jay Sekulow and others have spoken out about. We've had hearings. Every church ought to be writing their congressman requiring that something be done. My bill ought to be bringing up in the Senate as soon as it passes in the House, and we ought to have a strong advocate to advocate for. We don't have a special envoy in Sudan. As you know, 2.1 million people died in the north-south, many of them, most of them Christians. George Bush, President Bush, to his credit, had a special envoy. That special envoy office has been open for 4 months, and President Obama has done nothing. I mean, I see these bumper stickers during the campaign, enough is enough, save Darfur, on one side, and then on the other side, it says Obama, 2012. Well, I wanted to knock on the window and say, what do you mean? He's done nothing. And so there's so many things, but you have to speak out. You have to speak out what Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke out in Nazi Germany, and we need to start hearing sermons from the pulpit on this issue. And I think that the elected officials have to be held accountable.
What is your bill number?
H.R. 301. And it,
okay.
It passed 401-20, and the leadership has told us they're going to bring it up in the month of July, or if it doesn't come up in July, it'll be up in September. No member of Congress should vote against it. And frankly, the people in the district ought to find out, why can we not advocate for Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East? Someday, there'll be no Christians left.
We hope that you'll help Family Research Council continue to fight for faith, family, and freedom here in Washington, D.C. You can find links to help you do just that when you visit tonyperkins.com. And for more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, you can reach us by phone at 866-372-1212, or you can partner with us online at tonyperkins.com. Washington Watch Weekly is sponsored by the Family Research Council.